Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk, a show dedicated to exploring all aspects of creating a great dental office, where the only dumb question is the question that's not asked. Here's Jim and Han.
Hello, Jim Jarvis here, and welcome to Straight Talk, along with my co-host Han Tran. Han, how are you today?
I am doing marvelous, Jim. Doing marvelous. It is nice, and yeah, it is nice and sunny still down here in beautiful Florida, so I am good.
There we go. Excellent. Well, tonight's show is a really interesting one. When Han and I were discussing what we wanted to do for a topic, we kind of said, you know, this is a subject that keeps getting thrown back and forth on Dental Town, the forums and everything, and I think it's, you know, it's time to hit this. And our subject tonight, episode number 42, is cabinets and your reception desk. Now, we've all understand that cabinetry, along with the reception desk, we're kind of lumping these two areas together, but mostly cabinetry, can be some very costly furniture. And it's a rather diverse kind of topic in that people have really strong opinions one way or another. And we're going to really jump into those opinions one way or another and try to, you know, at least give you the facts, give you the straight answers so that you can make a decision that's best for you. I mean, we're not going to say that X is better or Y is better or this manufacturer is better or that manufacturer is better, because that's not our place. Han and I and our organization don't have a horse in this race. We don't make cabinetry. We don't make equipment. We design. And we design around what your needs are going to be. So, you know, as we dive into this discussion, it's going to be the what do you want to call it, Han? The unfiltered facts as best we can, based upon the
Straight
years
talking.
And years that we've been doing this.
Yes, I mainly, like Jim say, we don't have a horse in this race. We don't have allegiance to any manufacturer. I think the discussion would simply be options. You know, what is right, not necessarily for a certain manufacturer or not, but it's what's right for you. So options, I think that's the main purpose of this discussion, option for you.
Absolutely. Now, another cool thing I want to get out for everybody, obviously, you all know that this is a live call-in show. So if you have a question and you really feel like you'd like to get an answer to it, call us. We'll answer it. Now, another thing that we started last week was the monthly Q&A show topic. And to that end, if you go to our website at www.hjtdesign.com, you can actually click on the link and go to the Listen Live button. And in that page, at the very bottom of the page, there is a form that you can submit your questions for the monthly Q&A show. You don't have to give your name, other than whatever you want to be called on the show. And you don't have to give your email address. You just give us your question. So we'll make it as easy, and you can be as anonymous as you'd like. Use your best friend's name, the city two counties over. We don't care. But at least you got a situation that, you know, you can ask your question and, you know, be specific about these questions. We like to answer those. So Han and I were talking about it, weren't we, Han? How we really enjoyed that topic because it delves into a lot of areas that maybe we just don't talk about.
Yeah, it's not so rigid, you know. It's fun, and yeah, we're not too technical about everything. So yeah, it's pretty loose. So whatever your question is, you know, I encourage you not to be too shy, because we don't care who you are. We don't need your information, because Google already have that. Just ask away, and we'll do our best to. We do our best to address and answer the questions. If we don't know it, well, we're going to research it so that all of us will know.
Exactly. So, you know, feel free, put those questions in there. And every month, our plan is to have a certain show during that month dedicated to Q&A. Now, if we get really deluged by questions, we may expand that to two shows a month. And that's really up to you. You, the listeners, it's really up to you, in the sense that whatever's best. If you would like to have more questions, throw them at us. And we'll supplement the other two shows with important topics. So let's jump into our important topic for today. And we're talking about cabinetry. Well, cabinets, as we talked about before, a very expensive, potentially very costly piece of furniture. Well, the first thing you come to mind is you've got really two areas. You've got the pre-made cabinetry, and you have the custom cabinetry. There's really only two types, one or the other. Now, each one of those are broken down into subcategories of different types. So let's start with pre-made. I mean, pre-made cabinetry, and it falls into two sub-areas, and those two sub-areas are assembled and unassembled. So you can have a system that's pre-made, totally assembled, finished, comes to your place in a cardboard box. You take it out of the cardboard box and you install it. Or you have another set of cabinetry that comes to your place in a cardboard box, and it's a bunch of pieces, and it's designed to go together with minimal tools and, you know, bolts and screws, and boom, you've got assembled cabinetry. Now, each one of these have lots of manufacturers, and like Han and I, we've talked about before, we don't have a horse in this race, so we're just going to throw out the things. If we miss a manufacturer or don't talk about it, don't feel bad. It's just that each one of them have a whole lot of different areas. And so the first one, of course, that comes to mind specifically is a pre-made assembled cabinet made by a dental specific supplier. Now, we all know there's dozens of manufacturers that do that. Han, aren't these the most typical when someone says dental cabinetry? Isn't that like the first thing somebody thinks about?
Yeah. I mean, dental cabinetry falls into the pre-made, okay, or pre-manufactured.
Right.
I think the biggest reaction that I often get when they talk about dental cabinetry is, oh my God, how much does that cost? Okay, that's the very first thing. How
sticker
much
shock?
Does that cost?
Yeah, sticker shock.
Yeah. You know, do I have to give up, you know, my firstborn, lastborn, and my right arm for it? Cost is always the thing before performance, durability, construction, and all that good stuff. But did I answer your question, Jim?
Yeah, you actually did. So, you know, as we talk more about that, I mean, you know, it's kind of like, well, you say dental cabinetry, and people say, okay, that's that pre-made stuff that you buy from the equipment supplier. Well, yes, that is one option. And yes, a lot of the stuff is built like a tank. It's designed to last and last and last, and the good stuff is designed to keep lasting, but for you, your children's practice, and maybe sometimes the children's children's practice. The stuff can be that durable and that heavy duty, designed to take a licking and still keep going. But there, as Han said, there's a cost.
There is a phrase that usually describes the things that I design and it lasts so long. That it still work. Okay, it just kind of grow ugly on you. Okay, so yeah, that expression was shared with me one time when I was talking about olefin carpet. You see, that thing is like the bulletproof. It to perform and it held up and all that stuff. It just kind of grow ugly on you. So when you think about being in 2025, right, into the future, and your office look like it's still in, 1970. It still function. You still have a good service life, but it have grown ugly on you for about 30 years. You might want to do something about that, but we're not talking about replacement here. We're talking about quality, cost, and all that. And Jim's right. There is a cost factor, but I think it has to be justifiable. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If your cabinets that are designed specifically, there's a lot of engineering that goes into dental specific. Cabinet, but those are specialty cabinets that are usually focused down to the sterilization area. They call them the stereo center. They're engineered, but the rest of the building is a whole different discussion altogether. Okay.
Right. And Hans, you hit the exact point there. I mean, you got to look at your cabinetry from the different areas of use. You've got your sterilization cabinetry. That's one series and one type. You've got your cabinetry within your operatories, another series and potentially another type. And then you have your office, I'm going to call it office furniture cabinetry, which includes things like what happens at your office areas, your reception desk, your checkout desk, even your storage areas. You have that cabinetry. That's at a different level and potentially a different scenario. So you've got those pretty much those three general areas to look at when we evaluate the cabinetry itself. So if you've got dental-specific cabinetry made by a manufacturer, this stuff, like Han said, is engineered and designed for the dentist in mind. So the sizes of the drawers, the areas that are there are designed to take the pieces and parts that you guys use on a daily basis and fit. They fit within the drawers. They things fit where they're supposed to fit. There's areas and drawers specifically for the pieces and parts that you use. They're designed to have heavy duty hardware, slides and clasps and latches and hinges. All those things that are heavy duty so that they work, and they work constantly and consistently, and they open and close and they open and close and they open and close and they don't fall apart. So there's nothing wrong with this stuff. I mean, it's great stuff, but you have to be able to justify the afford it, correct?
Yes. I mean, they get pretty advanced in their design. They get kind of fancy in their design and things like that. We don't get involved in how much it costs. So we can't tell you how much it costs for a unit, how much it costs per square foot or anything like that. We're talking about strictly functionality, constructionability, and applications. Okay. Jim mentioned there's three areas. So when you look at cabinetry, you can't simply do a generalization of my cabinet costs so much and you have to have dental cabinets for my office. Because really, the only area that we would even consider dental specific is your clinical area. Okay, there is a trend that where there is no cabinetry in the operatory. Okay, if you're in one of those camps, wow, look how much you save. But the area that I really, that we, when we're talking about dental-specific cabinetry, we look at the more of the sterilization area. The lab, the lab is, I've seen, a bench put up or a counter put up again on a wall and you're in business. But sterilization is a, is an area that can be designed. It's designed specifically for the space. It's not something you buy off the shelf and go stick it into the, into the wall. Normally we don't get into looking at specification for the, sterilization center. But, you got your left hand, you got your right hand, or where do you start when you come into the sterilization area to drop off all the soil contaminant stuff? And then you go to the clean area. So, again, those things also have to be taken into consideration what is appropriate. I've seen them with red light, blue light. I think people who went through school to become dentists or hygienists or a dental assistant should be smart enough to figure out which side is clean and which side is soil. All right? They don't need a light to say red is soil, blue is clean. And those things cost, okay? Every little thing, every little bells and whistle that you put it, that you put into a piece of equipment will cost you. So it just jack up the price. What is special about the sterilization equipment or cabinetry? Jim, is it too early to get into the detail of what it is?
No, not at all. And, one quick and simple solution to what you just talked about is not worry about the issue of putting more, a light system or whatever in there. You can change out the countertop to a different color, and it doesn't cost you any different. You can say this color countertop is considered the dirty side. This color is called the clean side. I mean, it's that simple. You can do simple solutions that are inexpensive and still solve the problem. But, correct me if I'm wrong, Han, we've been given the task of designing a dental office around this sterilization unit made by this manufacturer. We were given that task. Here's the unit. Here's the manufacturer. This is the color. This is the design. I want this. It's kind of like that commercial we used to see from Moen, where the husband and wife would walk into the sophisticated architectural office multi-floors later and hand him a faucet and say, design me a house around this faucet. Well, we've been given the task of design me an office around this sterilization unit.
Yeah,
and
we have. I mean, it can get pretty specific, okay? But here's a couple of things that I thought, what is a common denominator between cabinets, whether it's pre-manufactured or prefab or custom? You have a countertop. How deep? It's usually 25 inches deep. Okay? Whether it's made in the factory or not. I guess the sterile center usually come as they, assemble and all the pieces and parts are already fabricated off-site, and they bring in, they assemble it together. But, again, it has the same characteristic of all of the rest of the of your work surfaces in your custom-built sterilization area. Your depth of your counter, your cabinets are usually 24 inches deep. Your counter is about 25 inches deep. You have a splashboard. You have cabinets above. You have cabinets below for storage and what have you. You may have, you're going to have a sink. Your autoclave, whether it's going to be on the counter or it's going to be stacked. Your statum going to be a part within that. We call it the autoclave, lack of a better word, tower, when we stack them. And so the design of the sterilization or the sterile center have very specific needs, and it accommodate all the equipment naturally better. Can it is material durable enough so where it get exposed to hot temperature from the autoclave or steam from the autoclave where it will not delaminate and all that stuff, it better for the cost that you pay for it and things like that. So whether it's custom or prefab, they all have to solve all the same problem. The biggest thing is that we find that are when you go to custom is that it's exactly that, custom. If you want to have a bright lime green countertop, you get a bright green lime green countertop. If you go custom, if you want to run your backsplash we call it coved, meaning that's an integral part of your countertop. It's one piece. It goes horizontal and run up the wall. You can have that in custom. You can't have that in a prefab. Okay. So the difference, the huge difference between the two method is one is fabricated locally, typically. And if you need services, if there's anything that broken or fell apart for whatever reason, and trust me, if you hear somebody say it's a dental specific, it is built like a tank and it won't fall off or it won't, won't fall apart, run from them, all right? Because it's still built by humans. Things happen, okay? For whatever reason, maybe a bad day at the factory or something. But when you have a local shop, you get more expedient services. They're a lot more responsive and things of that nature. So often, the debate is, should I go custom or should I go prefab? I find that custom give you a lot more choices. Again, the main discussion is not so much what, but it's about options, okay? Money talk. What is the best option for you? Whether it's prefab that you buy from a factory, they come in, like Jim said, come in not a cardboard box, but probably a truckload, because you are talking about the entire office. So if you want to spend the weekend put it together so you can learn new skills, just to say that I can do this in all weekend, more power to you. Okay, so some people don't know which end of the screwdriver to hold, and that kind of stuff probably not for them. But again, you got to know what you're willing to do. You got to do your research so that you know if you are the hands-off type, hire somebody else to do it for you. All right, because it will take time to assemble the stuff, right. Or you can just basically write the check and they bring it in.
Mm-hmm. Well, Han, let's talk about the pre-made stuff that's out there. I mean, obviously, we've all heard it. It's all been on the forum. Can't you just go get your equipment, your cabinetry from IKEA?
The answer is yes, and the answer is no. I have a question. I read a discussion the other day, and somebody said, can they build this for me? And I think they were a little shy in asking the question is, if I want a 35.5 inches wide cabinet, can they build it for me? The answer is no. Prefab cabinetries are made in factories. They have very little room, if any, when it comes to customization. If you have a room that's an odd shape, that has odd dimension and things like that, that may not be the right fit for you, okay? We find that some, now again, we don't have any horses in this race, okay? So we are not promoting one versus the other. Now, when I talk to manufacturer, and I do, I reach out specifically one of the discussion today, or one of the comment make today, that IKEA don't warranty the product that, you know, when you put your their cabinets, you purchase from IKEA into your office. Yeah, that is a true statement. Okay, they don't warranty it because their stuff are made for residential use. But residential use doesn't mean that it cannot apply or cannot, or doesn't mean that it cannot be used in a dentist's office. Again, remember, the only place in your dentist office that are considered dental specific is your clinical area. Okay, and we can debate that all day long. I'll still win. Yes, so the answer is it depends on the application and the specific space where you're going to put these cabinets and stuff like that. It's limited. There is size that they make, you make it work. So let's say you have a base cabinet, the sink. You know, do you want it to be 24 inches wide, 30 inches wide, or, you know, bigger, 48 inches wide? You can get all that, right? Whether it's prefab or custom. But if you're going to try to fit it into a finite length wall, on your length of wall, they all make filler panels so you can make things work. But again, you can. The answer is yes and no. Everything has its limitation. Okay, but IKEA stuff, the biggest discussion is if you make, and it's often they come from fabricators, people who make cabinets, and their target market is dental. And they're really strong opinion about things that are made by other people that, you know, other themselves, is that everything that's not made by us are junk. That's not true. It's unfair. There's a lot of really, really high quality shops out there that have done very well for the last, you know, 2-3 generations. Okay? And those things that they make had lasted 3 or 4 generations since. So it's not fair to make, and it's not right to make that kind of statement. The stuff that I find when I communicate with fabricators, manufacturers, is that they like to work with things that other than, you know, things that are MDF, things that are press boards, because it's more economical, and they will try to tell you nobody makes things out of plywood anymore. Now that's malarkey. There's plenty of people that still make cabinet out of plywood. Plywood is expensive or it's warped and all that stuff. Again, that's another line of malarkey. Because there is plenty of example of high quality cabinetry, and Jim, you work with wood, where the door, you know, the hinge and everything still work perfectly after 20 or 30 years. If you use the right material, okay, if you use the right hardware, and you use the right finishes and stuff like that, it should last you for many, many, many years. Now the question of who makes the best. Well, you'd be the judge, okay? You inspect it, you check it out. Sometimes if you pay for something that's economical and expect it to last 30, 40 years, probably not, right? There is a manufacturer located in Ohio. I won't mention any name, but it's a big operation. They sell a lot of home furnishing. So if you have an in-home office, you might want, you know, you buy one of their cabinet, one of their executive desks. You take it home, you put it together, and you set it there, you know, set it in the middle of the room, and you dare not relocate it. Because when you pull it across the room or you take it apart, it's going to fall apart on you, okay, because they made out of particle board. It's, you know, it doesn't cost you a lot, but they are disposable furniture. So, but if you have it built, custom built, the exact same desk and stuff it had, more likely you're going to have it for 20, 30 years and hand it down to your kids, all right? They may go, my God, they have grown ugly on us, so why are you giving it to us? But it is, you know, you get what you pay for. IKEA is a huge topic of discussion, and there is offices across the country that have successfully implemented their cabinetry in their office. That's including in sterilization. okay, where it's exposed to steam, heat, water. You know, it goes into people's kitchen, their cabinets and stuff go into the people's kitchen where there is steam, heat, water. So they debate on it won't work in the sterilization because it's not dental. I think there's proof that it will work. For some people, it's, you know, the word IKEA may conjure up the fact that it's things that are made for poor family or dormitory and stuff like that. I challenge you to go and check it out. I'm very curious. When the discussion came up years ago, I went and I checked it out. And I put it in my house. Okay, because it's been built and put together, you know, and put in thousands, if not millions, of homes across the world, not just in the United States. So, a lot of time when things that are in your home, we don't usually say, "Hey, it's residential; it can't work in a commercial space." You have to look at the specific application. It can't be a generalized statement. IKEA product is, it's an option. It may not be the best for, you know, for everyone. It may not work for everyone, but I find that there are those that who have put it in their office, large practices that will debate on that topic whether it's worthwhile or not. Because mainly, if you get a quote for cabinets, let's say for your sterilization. Okay, now Jim did mention this is expensive stuff, all right? We just did a 2,600 square foot pediatric dentist office. It costs $26,000. Okay, there is no cabinetry in her operatory, so it applied to the front desk because most of our project we designed the front desk. Counter space, you know, counters in her private office. Sterilization, and I think the kitchen and a couple other amenities areas. It's expensive, okay, and that was custom. There's so many choices when it comes to buying from the dental suppliers, so it could run you pretty pennies. But let's say if you renting a space. Going to lease a space for 5 or 10 years. And when you get a quote to compare custom cabinets, now we're talking about this exact same space, okay, where it's apple to apple in terms of application. You get custom, and you go, okay, I'm curious how much it cost me if I do an IKEA installation, and then how much it cost me if I buy the whole package from the dental guy. If the choices it costs you half of, you know, to get the same thing for the next 10 years, and it costs you half of the most expensive guy, it's a no-brainer for me. Okay, because you can if it costs you 50%. To put the cabinetry in your office, and 10 years down the road you can put in another 50% to replace with brand new. Well, the guy down the road who bought it for the first time had a 10-year-old equipment that had the same function as yours, brand new. To me, it's a no-brainer. Hey, Jim?
Yes, without a doubt. And you know, really, I guess what we're saying is if you are really wanting to go with, let's say, you say, you know, I could live or I would like to use IKEA for that particular reason, or that, you know, it's something that I know, you know, it's not going to last me forever, but I'm only leasing this space for 5 to 10 years. Let us know about that. You let us know about that. We'll design around those parameters. Now, that's the important thing, is you need to communicate early, you know, so that we don't design a wall that is 9'6", and that's where you're going to put your cabinetry on, and you need 9'6", because 9'6" isn't a standard size. You know, you can't get a cabinetry to fill that up, and you have a weird size, and that lends itself more to custom. You would want to have something that would be more like 8 feet or 10 feet, because it's divisible by the normal size that you would be able to buy at a pre-made unit from like IKEA or someone like that. Obviously, as Han was saying, the custom size, you can get anything you want. And so, but back on the pre-made and the assembled. Now, so that you understand the pre-made, it is done. It is created. It's made. It comes in on a truck, wrapped up in a box. They come over, they install it. They screw it together, meaning they screw each cabinet base or each wall cabinet above, and it's done. The unassembled stuff comes in a big box like the IKEA, where all the pieces have to be put together. You have to literally put the drawers together. You have to put the walls together. You have to have it all assembled. So there is a cost to do that. So you have to kind of equate that when you're making that decision. Now, we've already talked a little bit about custom, but let's talk about custom. Now, custom cabinetry is, for lack of a better word, the sky's the limit. You can do anything you want, anywhere. You can say, I want custom cabinetry throughout my whole practice. You could do that. And I want it made of these exotic materials, things like exotic woods or exotic countertops or stone or just about anything you can think of, you can have it made. Obviously, there's a cost associated with that. And, there's this big discussion and a debate, I guess we want to call it, Han, is that, well, wait a minute, the dental specific equipment or supplier who makes cabinets, that's heavy duty and it's designed for the dentistry profession. Well, I know, especially as Han, you've said, I'm a woodworker. I work with wood. I work with metal. I've worked with that up since I was just a little tyke. You can make custom cabinetry last for hundreds of years. It can be that durable, that sturdy. I have a home that's 100 years old over in Perrysburg, and I'm working on stuff as I renovate this home, that wood that's 100 years old. Okay. It lasts. So you can have high quality birch plywood that is perfectly flat, unbelievably stable, cabinet grade. It will be there forever. It's what it's designed for. It's what it's made for, using the right kind of stuff. Sure, it's expensive, but used in the right application and for the right kind of thing, it will survive whatever you throw at it and give you a lifespan that equates to as long as any dental-specific supplier cabinet made out there. You can buy heavy, heavy, heavy-duty hardware that'll keep running forever and ever and ever. Hinges, latches, all those things. It all depends on what you want to put into it and what your ultimate goal is to be. So now, if you're trying to compare cheap against cheap, that's a different story. Go ahead, Han.
There's another thing that there's a check and balance on everything. Okay, there's a process. Construction is one of those things that could be rather unpredictable. If you go and design, or order your cabinets to fit into a specific, space, there is cost that you rarely ever discuss. That would be installation, freight. Usually when you get a quote from a local custom cabinet shop, their price include installations. That's our experience. I've never been, cabinet costs you this much. If we're going to install it, it costs you this much. It's in the package. It's given. But here's something that I really ever discuss. Before the cabinets are made locally, the local shop will come out when the space is built, or should I say roughed out, and they'll do a final measure. So if you have a space that are, 11 feet, 10 and a half inches, and you need that to be 12 feet, your prefab may have to be revisited, but a custom shop can adjust their cabinets because they make the final check before they build anything. Okay, so the verification process is part of something that's rarely ever discussed when you talk about prefab materials. Jim?
Yeah, versus the custom built, and it's kind of like built to order. Because it is that.
Yeah.
It's built to order to that specific space. So if you step back at this whole decision-making process, you need to ask this question of yourself. How long am I going to be here? How long do I want this cabinetry to survive under normal use before I get tired of it? That'll help you to help make that decision on whether you want to get IKEA or dental specific pre-made, or whether you want to get custom made or heavy duty custom made that will be there a lifetime. Because it's real easy to change the aesthetics of a cabinet by doing one thing. Take the doors and drawers off and replace them. You do that.
Just change the pool.
You can, or change the pool is a cheap way if you can.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times there's holes in the wrong place. But just taking the doors and the drawers off and replacing those is like doing a facelift on anything. So you see it done all the time in kitchen cabinets. Well, you sure can do it on dental cabinets just as well from a custom standpoint. So if the cabinetry's been in there for 20 years and it's just grown, the look has grown old, you can retrofit that pretty quickly and rather inexpensively with new cabinet doors and faces, and you're going to have the great working and functioning internal guts of the cabinet with a new look. Another way to change out the look or update the look, if it grew, like Han said, grows ugly on you, is change the countertop. You change the countertop out to something else, it'll be like, well, you got brand new cabinets. Yes, I did.
Yep.
Yep. Sure did. There's a ways of solving that if it actually gets to the point where it just becomes outdated in the way that it looks. But from a usability standpoint and from a constructability standpoint, a lot of times if you're doing custom cabinetry, the high-end stuff, you're designing it in a timeless fashion. That's at least what we would recommend. You design it so that the materials that are used are timeless ones that don't go out of date. They don't look old after 5 to 10 years. There's something just unbelievable about looking at a 100-year-old cabinet or a piece of furniture that's 100 years old. It still looks great. And it was built 100 years ago, but it's still a really superb piece of furniture. because that's what this stuff becomes. It becomes furniture. Han, you were saying?
It's an investment that will last you for many, many, many years. So when it comes to here's something that I thought, to my observation when we deal with cabinetries and manufacturing and stuff like that, is that I have not run into a dental supplier that would step up and say, we can do your entire office. Okay? You have an office that needs cabinetries, work counters and stuff like that for the administrative portion, the front desk, the reception desk, and what have you. And then you have the staff area, and you have your clinical area. Usually it stops at the dental specific. And then, your sterilization, maybe your lab, and your cabinets within your operatory, that's what you put in your operatory. But what about the rest of the office? We usually advocated for single source. So now if you buy dental specific, now you have to go out and you find your custom guide, the local shop that will make the rest of the space. Coordinations between the materials and stuff like that, because prefab manufacturer has what they call the standard manufacturer color selection. Deviate from that is rarely allowed. Okay, so you get a range of 10, 16 finishes to pick from. That's what you get. Okay, if you just happen to not like any of those, well, you're kind of stuck with it. You pick out the one that you hate the least. So when you look at cabinetry for your entire office, the other question is, besides how much it costs, what do I want to achieve out of those and so on? Who's going to make it? Are they able to make everything else, or are they just going to make this few pieces and I have to find somebody else to deal with? Okay, that's another discussion that we don't talk about. Is I like it. I guess if there's one finger to point of this, if there's one blame to blame or one award to be given, I want to give it to one person. That's the person or that organization that did the entire work, not pieces and parts that are by different groups, if that makes any sense. Yeah, because I think it's the more manufacturer that's involved for the same piece of equipment, the more convoluted it can get, more confusion. Jim?
Right. Yeah, so those hybrid solutions where you combine both pre-made manufactured stuff with custom stuff can be messy. And so you have to have the right team that can help navigate through that. The right construction manager, the right architect, the right individuals that are part of your team to be able to make sure that everything comes together and it looks cohesive. Because Han's exactly right. You do not want to have one look in your clinical area and another look in your administrative area. I mean, that would just look funky. And the question that would quickly come to my mind was, well, who did that? Who does that make sense to? So, the custom stuff.
Go ahead, Jeff.
No, I said the custom stuff is obviously there's different levels. And I guess that's one of the points that we didn't get into yet is on custom cabinetry. There are different levels of custom. You can have the entry level custom, which basically says pick from these kind of criterias and we'll make it the fit within those particular sizes. Then all the way to the high-end custom level, which means, the sky's the limit. You could have anything you want in the way of materials, hardwares, the whole nine yards. So, that's where your design team, like ourselves, will help you navigate through that. And, if you want to do the hybrid solution, then you have to be able to have someone who understands that up front. So communication is important. You need to really communicate your desires to the design team so that they can design it properly. Because nothing worse than, you know, Han and I designing something with the idea that, okay, it's going to be custom cabinetry throughout, and then you turn around and come in at the 11th hour and say, no, I'm going to buy all the cabinetry from IKEA. That's a recipe for disaster.
It would. Jim said communication is really, really important, but coordination is also important, okay? I don't know how often I have to ask this question is, the doctor is going to buy the cart from a manufacturer. I don't want to name any name. And they have their, and we are charged with doing the interior, selecting all the colors and patterns and materials for the entire office. The only thing that we don't get involved in that we're not in charge of is the dental specific, the dental equipment. Whether the cart is going to have a worktop, who's going to make the decision on what specific color palette they're going to use? That often are relinquished to the doctor. There seems so unfortunately there seems so much territorial protection from the manufacturer that they don't want to have anybody else involved in the process that could help to cohesively pull things together. We're not married to any manufacturer, so it's not one of those things where you tell me I'm going to take it to my friend, Joe with the other manufacturer. No, it's the whole intent is to cohesively put everything together for our common client. And often the hybrid scenario have holes in it that are often discover afterward. It's like, we didn't get, we will be happy to look at what is the selection material and make the recommendations and or because what you don't know, is that, yes, there is standard color palette that the manufacturer like you to stick with, but if you don't ask the question, what else is available, you won't get the answer because they prefer that you buy things off the shelf that they already make, that they have, in their inventory. So they don't like you to deviate and make that more custom to your need or your like. Okay? So we often run into that. And if you ask the question, that may open the door a little bit more for you. But coordination and communication are just very, very vital regardless who's on the job. And the more coordination means less issues. Jim?
Right. Well, in the few minutes we have left, I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about the reception desk, and specifically the cabinetry that's part of that. And this kind of goes in as well with the checkout desk and any administrative kind of stuff, but mostly the reception desk itself. Now, can you go buy a reception desk from IKEA and place it in your lobby? Absolutely. You can do that. But go back to one of our podcasts and talk about first impressions. And you listen to that whole thing and ask yourself, is that the first impression I want to give? Now, IKEA stuff is nice, but again, is it the first impression you want to give when people walk in and say, I was over at IKEA last week and I saw that exact desk? So from a reception desk area, we tend to like to at least recommend that you end up with not a standardized pre-manufactured, but something that looks more custom and more designed for the overall look that you're trying to accomplish within the space. And there's unique ways that you can do that. Just because it's a custom look doesn't mean that it's custom price. And what I'm saying here is that you can create, let's say, the front wall of your reception desk with the front counter. And let's say that that is all custom built to size. And behind it is placed a pre-manufactured piece that is made with a countertop that, you know, basically covers the whole thing. You can take cabinetry that's pre-manufactured or even unassembled in something like IKEA and place it and integrate it into your reception desk work area. Creatively, that can be done. So there's ways to accomplish that same aspect, but not have to be all totally custom. But we always recommend that at least at the front reception desk area that you create something that is has the more substantial custom look to it. Han?
Yeah, Jim, you know, when you deal with reception desk, okay, there's a couple, it's going to cost you a bit more. I agree with Jim, it's totally. This is where you want to spend your money, okay? Your lobby, your waiting area, whatever you want to call it. This is your. You only have one chance at the first impression. So spend a little bit of extra on, upscale carpeting, upscale finishes, upscale furnishing, okay? Like Jim said, you can have a custom look. Custom built reception desk that doesn't have a custom price. There's a lot of tricks that can be used. There's a lot of material that can really bling it up if you want. There are just a zillion ways to do things that will give you that wow factor without like, oh my God, how much it's going to cost me. Because it's just an area that you want people to, when your new patient come in, they know that you care enough to make your facility stand out. It's not the cookie cutter that you typically see. Here's a trend that I saw that in the last, that had gone for maybe 5-6 years. I call it the Starbucks look. Is that everybody have the same color palette like the Starbucks down the street, okay, or the Chipotle restaurant, because it was a trend. So when you're going to invest in custom cabinetries anyway, make it stand out for you. Make it really stand out for you. Don't be a copycat, okay? A trend is something that has a lifespan. You don't want people walk in and say, oh, Dr. Jim, your office was done, in 2015, and I just visited the Starbucks that looked just like it. You don't want that. Okay? You can actually, there's two ways to do your reception counter. One is make it a piece of furniture. Okay, so that means that they build it in the shop, bring it out and assemble it, and it looks like a nice piece of furniture. Or you can have it built as part of the construction with the wall, in place. You place the counter on top, you attach the work surface to the backside and dress up the front. The worst thing you can do to the front of your reception desk is to paint it, right? That's not the place where you want to go cheap, okay?
No.
And a common thing that happens all the time in all offices is that you spent the money or invest the money into really nice countertop and You know, you got a really, really kick butt reception desk. And the first week, you open the door and the FedEx guy or the UPS guy comes in and throw a box on top of the counter that had been on the floor with grits and all that stuff and just gunk up and scratch up your work counter or your reception counter. And you go like, I want to kill him. It doesn't take anything to train the people that come to your building. You know, of course, you want to select stuff that are durable. If in the event they get damaged, it can be repaired. That doesn't cost you way too much, and things like that. But one thing that I've learned, this is things I've learned, and I want to share with you. One of the greatest material for a countertop ever, okay, is solid surface material. Why? Because you can have a 20-foot counter radius compound curve with no joints, no visible joints. You go, like, fantastic. If you get it scratched, you can buff it out. If somebody, you know, take a knife to it, you can repair it. Whatever you want to do, it can be repaired. But if you go to solid surface material, don't go with a solid color like black. All right? The dark solid color, you can see everything, every scratch, everything. So, you know, I've learned that on a project because it looks so cool in this lobby. It was a car manufacturer. And everything looked great with all their shiny hoods and, you know, automotive components and stuff like that. And the UPS guy came in with that filthy little box and he ran it across the counter and scratched it up. And they told the client told me, Gohan, we polished this thing 3 times in 6 months. I say, you ever think about telling your UPS guy not to throw the box on the counter? Set it on the floor. I go, didn't think about that. So lesson learned for me is not to use solid surface material because you can see all the scratches. Lesson learned for your front desk is tell them, don't throw this stuff on top of my counter.
Right.
Jim?
So the idea of the reception desk is there's a whole bunch of options. We could have a complete show on designing a reception desk. And who knows, maybe Han and I'll decide to do that show because we're of the design studio ideology that we like to do custom looking front reception desks. And whether they're made to look like furniture, they're made to look like they build in, but there's something there unique and timeless and original to you and your space. And they kind of make a statement about you and your practice for that first impression. So, you know, to recap, obviously, you've got to weigh the decision-making processes about whether you're going to buy pre-manufactured, already assembled or unassembled cabinetry versus the custom cabinetry and what level of custom cabinetry. You've got to really weigh that against how long you intend to be within that space, how long you want that cabinetry to function so that it can help you make that decision on whether it makes the best financial decision for you. Obviously, custom heavy duty cabinetry can be equal to or even better than dental specific supplier cabinetry. I'm sorry for those that think dental equipment cabinetry is the only way to go, but that's not true. You can have custom stuff that will literally last forever. You have to pay for it. But then dental-specific cabinetry isn't cheap either. So, you know, that has to be weighed one against the other. Communicate with your design team as to what you're thinking about and make that decision early so that the design can be created around that. You may say, I'm going to buy this equipment from this manufacturer for my sterilization. Everything else is up for grabs. That's fine. we can design around that and have done that. And it turns out perfectly. So by saying that early is the key. And again, I want to remind everybody, please feel free to jump on our website, go to the page where it says listen live, and throw us your questions. We're anxious. We'd like to hopefully have another question and answer session here in August. I don't think we've set a date yet, but we'll give it a week or two, probably in 2 weeks, middle of August. So, Han, how would you like to wrap up on your side from the cabinetry discussion?
I think, we challenge you to stump us, okay? Ooh, that's going to get us in trouble, Jim. All right?
It's going to get you in trouble because you said it.
There you go. Cabinetry, this is for the pediatric dentists, okay? Kids are great, but they can be little devils. They can destroy your space really quickly. There are ways that we have applied for specifically pediatric dentist offices that are virtually could be, I don't want to say bulletproof, but pretty darn near. I have enjoyed the discussion. I appreciate all of you plugging in for the last hour and spend with us. Until the next time, have a good evening.
You've been listening to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk with Jim and Han. To contact us and find out more info about upcoming shows, please log on to our website at www.hjtdesign.com. Until next time.